Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. Joined in studio by Walker Wildman, Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Steve, welcome today.
Good morning.
And also we have Ray Pritchard, who's out in Dallas. I know he sounds closer. Founder of Keep Believing Ministries. KeepBelieving.com is his website. Ray, tell our listeners a little bit about Keep Believing Ministries and what people can find at your website.
Well, Ed, if people come to KeepBelieving.com right now, we've just started a brand new series of daily devotions. This, of course, is the beginning of Lent. Started yesterday, Ash Wednesday. And each year we take a different theme. This year, our theme is Miracle Road. We're going to walk through the miracles of Christ between yesterday all the way through the rest of February and March and up to Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. So when people come to KeepBelieving.com, every day they'll see two things brand new. They'll see a new written devotion with a scripture, devotional thought, and a prayer. And then each day I'm doing a Facebook Live video that's a more personal presentation of that devotion and a time of prayer together. So if you're looking for something to focus your spiritual life in this Lenten season, you can find it at KeepBelieving.com. Join us as we walk the miracle road together.
All right. Thank you, Ray. All right. I mentioned Steve Jordahl is with us. Steve, what kind of stories did you want to discuss during this last segment?
Well, first, let me do this because I know that you rotate out and in with Ray. So, Ray, I'd like to introduce you to Ed Vitagliano, Ray Comfort, because, you know, you guys aren't always on. I don't know if that's ever really been done.
Ray Pritchard.
Did I say Ray Comfort?
Yeah.
Maybe I need to be introduced to Ray Pritchard.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Ray. Yeah. We start with jokes, but really there's not a lot to laugh about today. So let me just give you the latest on the shooting and what we've learned in the last hour or two since you guys have been on the air. There was a news conference down in Florida, the chief of police and other people talking. So what we know now is that the police believe they know where the gun was purchased. They are declining at this point to say whether it was legally purchased or where, but they think they know. They're in the middle of that investigation. Also, the FBI let us know that they did take the YouTube threat seriously, as they do all. They get a number of these, but they were unable to identify the exact person and location just from the YouTube. I think YouTube cooperated, but they still couldn't find where this guy was. I mean, it could be anywhere in the world and one of many threats. So maybe not a good idea to come down too hard on the FBI for not
We did. In fact, Walker mentioned the fact that they have a lot on their plate.
Right.
Yeah. So we wanted to find out, though, what, if anything, had been done. Because as Walker mentioned, you know, the authorities are always saying, if you see something, say something.
Right.
Something was said, so we want to find out what happens in that. And there is a lot of secrecy in terms of online personas, and you can't always find out who these people are away.
So. Right, and I have another story that we're going to get to in a minute about see something, say something. It was actually a good news, kind of a good news story. So anyway, also President Trump spoke to the nation at about 45 minutes ago, and I brought a couple clips in of him. This we'll start with clip 6, I believe it is. Brent, and this is one of the things he said about us mourning as a nation with these people.
No parent should ever have to fear for their sons and daughters when they kiss them goodbye in the morning. Each person who was stolen from us yesterday had a full life ahead of them, a life filled with wondrous beauty and unlimited potential and promise. Each one had dreams to pursue, love to give, and talents to share with the world.
You think about this as parents, every day they send their kids off to school. Sometimes it's with a kiss and a lunch. Sometimes they've had harsh words the night before or the morning of. They're teenagers, you know?
Right.
It happens. But you don't know that it's the last time you're ever going to see your child. It's a striking thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, Ray, most of us, you know, worry about how our kids will drive to school, you know, those kinds of things. I don't think I ever thought about the possibility of somebody opening fire in my kid's school.
You know, this is the call you don't ever, not only don't ever want to get. It's really, Ed, what you said. You don't think that. You think, no, there could be, you know, you could get in a fight, right?
Right.
Or something, somebody could say something to somebody. There's a lot of jostling around that goes on in a high school. But you don't think to yourself, somebody's going to come in, a kid, a student, ex-student, going to come in and throw the fire alarm, get everybody out and start shooting. It is terribly frightening to think about that. This fellow knew what he was doing. I mean, whatever his mental state was, and we've talked about that, he knew exactly what he was doing. Yep. I'm not sure what parents, we've talked about, you know, teachers and the law enforcement and so on. I'm not sure, Ed, what parents can do to protect their kids ahead of time in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Well, there's been talk about, do we need more armed officers, security people at the schools? And that's one thought. Of course, also on the other side of the political aisle, do we need more gun control? Do we need AR-45s on the street and all that kind of discussion? The president also had another thing to say. I wanted to play cut seven. This is the president trying to comfort the families again.
We hold on to God's word in Scripture. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. We trust in that promise, and we hold fast to our fellow Americans in their time of sorrow. I want to speak now directly to America's children, especially those who feel lost, alone, confused, or even scared. I want you to know that you are never alone, and you never will be.
Well, Walker, and I haven't heard the whole speech. As you pointed out, Steve, he was speaking while we were on in the previous hour. But those are some, I have to say, it sounds very heartfelt from the president. It sounds like he is truly brokenhearted over this. And I'm not saying this for any kind of political reasons. You know, those kind of speeches, they can come off cold.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't sound the case here just from these clips.
Yeah, and to add to that, or to solidify that, is last night the Attorney General from Florida was on with Sean Hannity remotely from Florida. She was on the scene there, and one thing she said is that she has already talked to President Trump. This was last night, and she reiterated how many times he asked about the families of the victims and anything he could do. So this is not a political issue. The loss of life, especially children, innocent, is, I'm sure, very heavy on the president. And you could hear it there in that audio.
Was this from the White House, the speech?
It was.
Okay, now my understanding is he's planning on going
he
down
is.
To the school
I don't
to
have
visit.
A date for that, but he is going to be visiting. He will visit Parkland, and he will talk with the families and local officials to continue coordinating the federal response to the shooting. So I don't have a date of when he's going to do that, but
it might
be
this weekend
day.
Because I think he was already planning to go to Mar-a-Lago,
right.
Which is in Florida also. So maybe this weekend.
A lot of times the presence of someone like the president does more to, I mean, it's just a lot of motorcades and things that get in the way of law enforcement more than it helps. So,
Hopefully he'll be in communication with law enforcement.
He already is.
And they'll tell him, you know, listen, you know, maybe a couple of weeks from now would be better.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be weeks. I think it's going to be a matter of days.
Okay.
I wanted to bring a story. This is an interesting story. A grandmother in Washington had a very hard choice to make. This grandmother read her grandson's journal and called police because she wanted to report upcoming incredible threats of a plot in his journal to attack his high school.
Where was this?
Everett, Washington.
Okay.
And the police department there said in a news release that the grandmother contacted them about 9:30 and showed them excerpts from the journal, which detailed plans to shoot students and use homemade explosive devices. And it was at Aces High School in Everett, Washington. They were also told by the grandmother that 18-year-old Joshua Alexander O'Connor, that's his name, had a rifle stored in a guitar case, which she discovered after reading the journal. So she went through his journal. And I can only assume, because a grandmother is going through his journal, that he probably lives with her.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They thwarted.
Can you imagine, Steve, picking up the phone and calling the police about your own grandson?
Oh,
that's really hard. You know.
That would break my heart. But,
yeah.
You know, we talk about, this is a school shooting you will not hear about in the news.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And it also reiterates the fact that parents and grandparents need to be as involved as they can in their children's lives and their grandchildren's lives to know what's going on.
Right.
Instead of having a disengagement, which sometimes
you
have.
Well, and I'll say this one other thing, too, and that is that, you know, we talked about the emotional trouble and mental, you know, maybe mental illness, but mental trouble that some of these young people who have committed these heinous acts are going through. And, you know, talking about Nicholas Cruz down in Florida, the very, very, seems like very difficult life that he's had.
Yeah.
But with his grandmother, you know, she, I think, can maybe defend this to her grandson at some point, because if this young man gets some help, get some counseling, it can not only did it perhaps head off something if he was planning on going through with it, but maybe all he needed was some professional help, some help to figure out a different way to deal with his frustrations. Ray, you've been involved in ministry. You know how helpful counseling can be.
Well, in a case like this, the grandmother saved lives, the lives that would have been taken, and probably saved her grandson's life, too. Mm-hmm. Does the story say what's going to happen to the
young man? Well, he's been arrested. I know that they found him with marijuana, which is not legal in Washington. Well, maybe it is legal in Washington. But
maybe not for his age.
But not at his age, probably. He's 18. And so they did arrest him. In this article that I'm reading from Fox News, they don't list the charge. So this is what she read in his journal. I'm preparing myself for the school shooting. I can't wait. My aim has gotten much more accurate. I can't wait to walk into that class and blow all those bleep away. And it says, and this is, Ray, this talks to the callousness of these kind of shooters. He flipped a coin. Heads, the school gets shot up. Tails, it doesn't. And heads came up.
Wow.
You know, that's what you read is pretty specific, too. It's not some wild, incoherent ramblings. You know, as soon as people write stuff and it doesn't even make sense. That actually, you hate to say it, but it makes sense. It's coherent and it's pretty cold. So if you read that in your grandson's diary, she did the right thing, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Another thing that was mentioned as I was watching the news, different news outlets, is the number of people in the U.S. who are on some type of prescription medicine.
Yeah.
And I think it's upwards of 90% of, maybe that's a little high, of U.S. adults who are on some, at least one prescription medicine. And many of them.
It's a big number.
Yeah, it's a big number. Many of them are antidepressants. And, but that oftentimes we end up hearing, and maybe not in this example, but some examples that the kids were on antidepressants or some type of medicine. Whether the medicine causes them to do this or not, I don't know. But it tends to be a factor when it comes.
Well, I think there's a web of factors that kind of interconnect, because what I was thinking when you guys were talking about this case in Washington. Because I was thinking, well, this is a young man who obviously has something very dark, but something anger, bitterness, resentment towards members of that particular class. Mm-hmm. So we all know that young people, children, but also in the teenage years, can be, and adults too, but we're talking about kids, can be very cruel. Mm-hmm. And when there's blood in the water kind of thing, the sharks kind of, you know, so when someone's getting picked on, a lot of times the other kids will circle. So we mentioned earlier about broken homes. And again, we may never know about these factors, Nicholas Cruz. We may never know enough to make these kind of judgments. But just in general, when all of us were growing up, there were always times when we were picked on. We had to decide how we're going to handle that. But if you can go home to a mom and dad who love you, mm-hmm. and brothers and sisters you may not get along with all the time, but you have a family that can help you through that, that helps you deal with bullies and so on and so forth. If you don't have that, we're thinking about Nicholas Cruz. He was orphaned. He was adopted by an older couple. They had died. You know, this other young man was being raised by a grandmother.
Yeah.
Some of these young people don't have that. They don't have that to go back to.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about, Walker, your point about antidepressants. Yeah, they're on antidepressants. Those drugs may have some sort of impact on their ability to function, but they're taking it because perhaps they've got no other way to deal with their pain because they don't have anybody to turn to. Mm-hmm. They get these dark thoughts, and so it's complicated, Ray. I don't mean to try to analyze this, you know, from thousands of miles away and not having all the facts.
I was just listening to what you said, and another thought popped into my mind. Look at all the news coverage that all these shootings get.
Right.
You know, a few years ago, there were several of these school shootings that looked almost like they were copycat shootings. And, you know, I can remember a time 40 years ago or 50 years ago, this kind of thing, you hardly ever heard about it. And I don't want to suggest that this young man did what he did yesterday because he heard about another school shooting. But clearly, with so much coverage, it does put ideas in the mind. And you know what? We don't really have any choice, whether it's American Family Radio or any of the networks. This is what everybody's talking about today. But the whole climate makes, if you're already a little bit troubled or angry or upset or just not thinking clearly, maybe an idea comes into your mind and then you begin to act on it. And then a tragedy happens. I don't know any way to stop that because we're living in 24/7 news cycle, right?
Well, and there is maybe a way. I don't know that you can stop all of them or mitigate all of them, but this grandmother was taking a step. We learned with the Klebold and Harris, the two kids that shot up Columbine years ago, that these kids will often give signs. And the students in this case in Florida knew that this guy was off and that something was wrong. And the FBI had been contacted. And I bet if his grandmother or mother or adopted parents or whomever had read his journal, they would have found some disturbing things. There are signs. Well-adjusted child wakes up in the morning and goes and shoots up a school.
Right.
So I think the call is to parents to really kind of monitor your kids. They're going to tell you you're not being fair. They're going to say, it's my life. It's my room. You can't come in. You can. You're the parent.
Well, we've had two already on the program. This grandmother that you're talking about that has stopped the case, and this fella, the bail bondsman, who turned in the YouTube comment. He did the right thing.
Yes,
right, exactly the right thing.
So they will show signs. I'm just saying, be persistent. I think as a parent, and get help for your kid if it's a hard call like this grandmother had to make. It's far easier, as hard as that call is, it's far easier than having to sit through a trial or a funeral after your child has shut up a school because and is charged or killed.
As one of you mentioned, this grandmother saved her grandson's life too.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
So in one way or another, she saved him. And
Whether he understands that or sees that or not, you could imagine him being very angry.
I think eventually he will unless he's psychopathic.
Yeah.
We don't know.
All right, what else you got, Steve?
This morning, a second appeals court has ruled against the Trump travel ban, they're calling it, the six majority Muslim cases. Now, this is the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. It ruled 9-4 that President Trump's travel ban was unconstitutional because it was driven by anti-Muslim animus. I will note that it's a little bit of a Pyrrhic ruling. It's late to the party because the Supreme Court has already taken this issue up.
Well, but so this then, will, then why is the Fourth Circuit?
Well, I think they want to. They add weight if But basically, what the Supreme Court will do is it will decide between between appeals. Right. So you have the Hawaii, the Ninth, which has ruled it unconstitutional, the Fourth, which has ruled it unconstitutional, and one district, and I can't bring up which one it is off the top of my head, has ruled it okay.
Right.
So the Supreme Court takes it up, and they take the arguments that are presented to them. And I think the Fourth Circuit thought, the more evidence we can bring, I think, the better it will. Just one more voice on that side of the equation.
Well, this is still frustrating. I frankly don't. I'm not an expert in these matters. I'm not an attorney. but it's just frustrating because I don't know why the courts are involved in this anyway. I mean, it seems clear to me that the president, the executive branch, and the president has the right to set these kinds of policies mm-hmm. according to laws that Congress has passed. I just don't know why these judges, or even the Supreme Court, I just don't know why they're involved. To me, it seems like the Supreme Court, if it ever does ultimately rule on this one way or the other, it should say, this is the president has the right to do this. You may not like it politically, but vote someone else into office.
Well, and if you talk to Abe, I know he's said this several times on this program, as well as to me personally when we talked about this, the Supreme Court doesn't get to just make up rules.
Right.
I'm going to correct an injustice in this country. No, they have to rule on the Constitution. The Constitution is pretty clear. The president, the executive branch, is the one that sets immigration policy.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court has ruled on this a couple months ago. And I don't think it was a temporary ruling until this is heard and the judges all get together and decide on it. But it was an injunction or whatever. So the Supreme Court has ruled on it at least temporarily, and they upheld President Trump's executive order on this
By a vote of 7-2.
Yeah, yeah. Right. By a vote of 7-2. So if I'm the Trump administration,
right,
I would say to the Fourth Circuit, look, I appreciate your opinion, but right now The highest court in the land has upheld our order as legal, and until they issue a final ruling, we're going to stick with it.
That's the Walker version of a Trump tweet. I think the Trump version of a Trump tweet is going to be something like, the Fourth Circuit is off its rocker.
Yeah.
We need to replace them all.
Yeah, the little Fourth
Circuit. They're bad. They're very bad.
That's right. Shameful.
Yeah, but well said. I agree with you.
All right, do you have anything short we can stuff in here in the last 60 seconds?
This is from what I'm going to call the banal files, you know, the banal, banal.
Yeah.
That is Taylor Swift and a judge.
You just wanted to play that clip.
Yeah, that's right. I did.
First time ever on AFR.
A judge has ruled that those lyrics are just not, there's nothing creative about haters gonna hate or players gonna play. It's not creative at all. It's banal, he says, the judge says. So somebody was suing Taylor Swift saying they got that lyric from their song. But the judge says, oh, come on. There is absolutely nothing. This is not Lennon McCartney.
Nothing
so Taylor Swift. Taylor right. Swift was vindicated. Is that
she
what
was
saying?
Vindicated for being banal, for being without any creative juice at all. So I'm not sure if I was Taylor Swift that I would necessarily take it. But
so the judge was basically saying it's like saying runners are going to run. You said this in a story
they said,
meeting.
Yeah, standing on their own. It's no more creative than runners going to run, drummers going to drum, swimmers going to swim, talk show hosts are going to talk.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I said to you this morning when we talked about this story, I said, I'm just going to mock it as a story choice because I think you just wanted to hear Taylor Swift on the radio.
Well, go ahead, but I so played true. It so pretty true. Much toward the end of the hour, so you really didn't have a whole lot of time to mock it.
All right, thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Ed.
Folks, we're done. More great radio straight ahead.